are listening to Radio Albion.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. We're live tonight on Rumble and Odyssey, and it is very, very good to be here with you all tonight, especially considering what we got up to yesterday, which might have been a bit of a shock to everyone. But I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get into it. We're awaiting Steve Laws. He's going to be a few minutes late, just putting the kids to bed. But before we do that, I just want to point out a few things. Firstly, if you want to send a super chat, if you want to ask a question, you can do so via Rumble. Remember, Entropy has gone now. If you're one of my Entropy subscribers, if you're one of the people who was giving a monthly subscription through there, that will now be cancelled. It'll never be coming back. All Entropy super chats are now gone. So if you are somebody watching on Odyssey, the only way to donate is through Rumble. So if people want to ask questions or support us, support me, Sam, Patriotic Alternative, and Steve when he gets here, please do consider making a super chat. And you can only do that through Rumble. That's the position we're in. You can also subscribe to me over on Substack. The Substack is linked in the description. It's also the pinned comment. I have two articles out on there every week. Please check that out and please support me there. Remember, everything we do, events like this, we pay for these out of our own pocket. We're not people who take expenses from the organization. You know, this isn't one of these operations where we ask for sort of 10 grand to get people down there and sort of hire a minibus. You know, when we go down to events like this, when we do things, everyone pays for it out of their own pocket. And it's the same. It's the same as it's always been. You know, we aren't an operation that grifts. We aren't an operation that pays people wages or expenses. So if you can support us financially through donations, that is great. And everything that is comes in on stream tonight, we will answer the questions and we will read out live on air at the end. Anyway, let's get into things. It was a really, really great day yesterday. And people might have been asking sort of what was the follow-up to Nuneaton, because we had a great demonstration in Nuneaton. That was obviously Sam's first demo back. And this was the follow-up to Nuneaton, you know, and it's been a long time coming because these big Unite the Kingdom events, I don't know if anyone saw David Clues's stream last night about Unite the Kingdom. He sort of tore it to pieces, but and I understand why. I understand why he tore it to pieces. He tore it to pieces because of the people who run it, the people who are on stage, the message being pushed. But I actually see it a little bit differently. I see Unite the Kingdom as tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of good people, largely with the same concerns as us. Concerns about immigration, concerns about demographics, concerns about what it'll be like when white people are a minority, concerns about anti-white crime, concerns about grooming, and they're going to Unite the Kingdom. They're paying good money to go all the way to London. They're probably staying in hotels. I mean, it wasn't cheap for us to go down there, you know, not cheap at all. You know, a train ticket from where we live, you know, it's best part of 80 quid to get down there for the day. But some people traveled from far further. Some people stayed overnight. Some people were there earlier than we got there and stayed later than we stayed. You know, people put a lot of money down to go to these events. And then when they get there and they stand in front of the talking heads down there, despite them feeling the same way as us, it's kind of one of those awkward things, isn't it? Where people are like, yeah, what did I come all this way for? To see Ricky Doolan and an army of black gospel singers all singing out of key with each other. It's embarrassing. You know, Sharon Osbourne, somebody who gloated about whites becoming a minority. And yet, they're all there watching it thinking, why aren't we speaking about demographics? Why aren't we speaking about Southport? Why aren't we speaking about the Axel Ruder cabanas? Why aren't we speaking about mass immigration? Why aren't we talking? You know, they're all chanting Starmer is a wanker, but no one's actually explaining why he is and what the governments are doing to us. So we went down there to make a change. And I am obviously going to introduce Sam, but I wanted to get this out of the way straight away because I've seen some people who are I don't know whether they're trolls or whether they're bad actors, who as soon as we do something like this, they say, what are you going down there for? You're supporting them, your extra numbers on the street. We weren't there supporting Tommy Robinson and the slop that was on stage. We were there supporting the tens of thousands of normal people, men, women, families, who turned up because they want something better. They deserve something better. And we gave them something better yesterday. And it wasn't just me. There was a good group of activists. And one of the people who was with me from first thing in the morning yesterday was Sam Melia. Sam, how are you doing, my friend? It's good to have you here and it's good to have you on stream again.
It's good to be here, Mark. Yeah, it was a really fun day yesterday. And yeah, it was bright and early, wasn't it? About half five, I think my alarm was set for to get to you for the train to get down there and everything. But yeah, it's fantastic energy on the day, wasn't it? And so many great people we ran into. And then the activists down there as well. Just old friends who I haven't seen, well, for 2 years plus, you know, getting to hook up with them again. It was fantastic. I think it was a really productive day yesterday.
Well, let's just talk, before Steve gets here, let's just talk a bit about our journey, because we did meet up, didn't we, at just before 7 o'clock. We jumped on the train together, and it was brilliant. You know, I provided the giant cans of Red Bull. You provided what they called the muck breakfast sandwiches. And it was kind of like high spirits all the way down. Both of us were chatting. We were getting texts. And just before we got there, we posted sort of a cheeky selfie of us on the train, because we didn't want to give it away too early and sort of spoil the sort of surprise that we were going to be there and what we've got planned. Like, part of what we do is a stealth operation, because Tommy always threatens us with violence. This is why we didn't advertise it. And this is a bit of an apology. If you'd have liked to have been there with us yesterday, which I'm sure some people would, you have to be in the private PA chats or in Steve's private Remigration Now chats. And this is really for security, because if I'd have said, look, I'm going down, there'd have been somebody there on behalf of Tommy. And we'll talk about the threats Tommy's issued against myself and Steve Laws. But there'd have been somebody there ready to sort of like stick it on me. But because they didn't know I was coming, they didn't know what I had planned, they didn't know what we were going to do, they got angry afterwards. But we didn't get really, I think we might have got two or three people who didn't agree with us. And we'll talk exactly about what we did and how many we saw. But my first thing to say to you, Sam, is it was a laugh going down, because you and I, we've not done sort of a big journey like this for a while, just me and you. And it did feel like the ultimate sort of lads road trip, didn't it? On the train, first thing in the morning, giant cans of Red Bull, you know, the McBreakfast sandwiches. And we'll talk a bit about coming back, because it was a very different energy going there to coming back. We were like sort of schoolboys on the school bus going to sort of like, you know, the big school trip. It felt fantastic, didn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it's something that I've really missed, is that excitement before an event. Obviously, I haven't had it for 2 years, and Nuneaton, I wasn't involved in that at all, because it was all planned before I was back in the chats and everything. But with this, I was there from the kind of formulation stage and everything, and then seeing people start to join the specific event chat and all this kind of stuff, and the energy there as well. You know, I mean, on the way down, you were mentioning that it's like, this seems odd. You know, it's like the last time we came down, the station was like, all the stations we were passing in and stopping in and everything were flooded with people who were all coming down to the United Kingdom thing. And that wasn't the case this time. So there was also that thing of, it's like, is this going to be a complete washout? But as soon as we got in there and we stepped out of King's Cross Station, it was clear. It's like, oh no, it's going to be huge as well, because there was just tons of people, flags all over the place. And the closer we got to that muster point on Upper Woburn Road, the busier it got. And we realized, like, oh, there's going to be no problem with getting these 15,000 leaflets out whatsoever. And there wasn't. It was, it was fun, you know. I mean, the lady who I was teamed up with said, like, she was like, oh, this is great, I could do this for a job. And I was like, this is like you're handing out hotcakes to hotcake appreciators. And it's like, whereas if you were doing this for work, offering, I don't know, 40% off the local salon or something like that, it's like you won't be able to force it into people's hands. But here, you couldn't give it away fast enough. And it was really satisfying. And to know as well that, you know, the kind of crowd that UTK has brought in, they seem way beyond any of the speakers who are up there on stage. And like you say, the kind of, I've seen some clips of the duel and stuff, and then like the camera cuts to the crowd, and it's like the crowd's just kind of like, what is going on? It's like, it's not like people going like, woo, it's people going like, it's like brilliant. And things got booed. I think people refused to cheer for Trump and stuff like that, you know, because everyone's feeling the bite at the petrol pump, you know. I mean, god forbid if we'd actually driven down and driven back, oh my god, would have been probably three times the cost of the train ticket,
yeah. And add the parking on, definitely.
Now, oh god, yeah,
I've got to say this, and I'm not ripping the event. There was a lot of people there. I think, you know, the press have reported 80,000, so there probably is more than that if they've said 80,000. But it did seem to be noticeably less than previous events there. And I would largely put it down to sort of a really silly oversight. So Tommy Robinson arranged this for FA Cup final day. So obviously there's going to be lots of football fans in London and Manchester who wouldn't have gone anywhere. And people all over the country, sort of even neutral football fans, will have been like, look, you know, me and the lads always go down the pub to watch the FA Cup final. And I think he kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit with that date, unless that date was given to him by the police. But there did seem to be fewer people there. It certainly wasn't as big as that huge one where like the whole of London seemed to be taken over. But I think the huge one was in September last year. And that was sort of hot on the heels of Southport, wasn't it? So Southport happened in July. And obviously then, you know, sort of about a month and a half.
The unrest was August. Yeah,
the unrest was throughout August, and this capitalised on it. And I also think, and I've got to say this, I don't know whether some people, in terms of the turnout, are a little bit burnt out, because if you've been to a couple of these, you might be asking yourself, like, what does, you know, because they built them up to about, I think it was about 300,000 people at the peak, and this time it dropped, you know, according to the press, below 100,000. Whether it actually was that low, I don't know. But I think some people might be asking sort of what was achieved, because Sam's sort of, you know, making a good point. It's like buying a ticket for like the Monsters of Rock, and you get there and they welcome Cliff Richard on the stage for some, you know, easy listening classics. You're like, yes. Well, I was expecting like
Kenny G coming up next. It's like, oh,
Guns N' Roses, Metallica. You know, this is a bit of Dio, but instead you end up with, you know, Cliff Richard is sort of crooning away on stage, and everyone's sort of like, you know, at first a little bit sort of confused, like, is this a joke? Is he going to be ushered off? Or like, you know, is Iron Maiden going to come on in a minute and chase Cliff Richard off? Is this a skit? But then as the day goes on and Cliff Richard finishes his set, and like you say, then, you know,
Cliff Richard's run over by 3 hours at this point. He's taken over.
And it's like, this is bad. And by the end, the sort of like looks of like, what did we come here for? Sort of turn to kind of like discomfort, booze, general anger, before people are like, right, we've had a skin full of beer, let's charge the stage and play our own music. And it didn't get that far. But when you saw the message coming out, and it wasn't just what was on stage, the speakers, like Lawrence Fox, you know, got a big own in on Labour, because Labour were like, oh, this is an event of hate. And Lawrence Fox's response was to take a picture of himself with a load of black women and say, you know, this is a beautifully diverse event. But it wasn't. And that was a lie. Because I've got to say this, Sam. I'm going to ask you, because I know the answer, but this has got to be one of the whitest events that has ever taken place in the capital. I mean, if you saw this event and you allowed for the odd sort of Chinese tourists that walked past and took pictures, oh, what's all this? You know, really, the demography of this event could have been London in what, 1952 or something?
Oh god, yeah. I think I could have counted the kind of ethnics who were actually attending the event. You know, obviously there were some just travelling around London who would pass you, but the ones who were clearly attending the event on like one hand, And I joked with a lot of people when I put the leaflet in the hand saying, you know, whites projected to be a minority, they'd be like, you know, they'd say something like, well, it feels like we already are and whatever. And it's like, you say, it's like, yeah, it's probably the whitest London's been in like the last 30 years. At least that small section between King's Cross and Euston Station there. It was just entirely white. So this kind of whole, you know, unite the kingdom, you know, black and white, everyone coming together. And it's like, listen, one side of that equation doesn't want any part of it. So it's like, can we please just give up this whole kind of like appeal to them? It's like, come join us. It's going to be great. Because they're going to, it's like, no, this is you. You know, you do you, we're going to do us, because it's been working for us quite well so far, is just sticking to our own communities. And through that, we've achieved a fair amount of power, actually. So I think it's about time white people kind of realize that it's like, if we're not standing up for ourselves, then there's no point doing this.
We've got Steve here. I'll welcome him in a second. But one thing I'll say before I just welcome Steve is the following. I think if you looked at the demography of the event, like PA has always said, we want a Britain that's 95% white British. That's what we would settle for, 95% white British. And I think this event was more than 95% white British in terms of its attendance. But then you looked at who was on stage, and it was what? Sort of almost, what, 60-40, 50-50 mix? And It was that classic joke. What do you call the black guy at a Republican event, the keynote speaker, you know, because he's there to prove they're not racist. Steve, how are you doing, mate? It's good to have you on. We've just done our introductions and we're just talking about how sort of white the event was and how many sort of, you know, this idea of uniting the kingdom was complete, you know, horse manure. But how are you doing, mate? Did you get back home okay? How are you feeling? Are you still in good spirits?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, I thought it went quite well. I thought the event overall. Sorry I'm late for jumping on. I'm sorting some stuff out with the kids, so I may have to jump off again in a minute for 5 minutes, but I'll be back. But anyway, yeah, I think the event went really well, to be honest. I think everybody, it was all great feedback. There was not really one hostile interaction other than that weird Jewish woman that came up to me and Mark. Other than her, we didn't really have any hostile interactions at all. And to be honest with you, I was kind of expecting some, because I've been quite openly hostile towards like some of the SIPNAP positions before. And I thought, I'm walking into enemy territory, I'm likely to going to get at least like a few debates or a few like being called a wanker or whatever. But, I didn't get any of that. So that completely shocked me, to be honest. Everyone completely agreed with our position. So it just shows you that even though they're going to Tommy March's, they're only going because it's the big event of the day and there's nothing else in town. Like no one else can throw a demo that size. So everyone's going to go to that event and that's what they do. Like there's a lot of people there. There's like families and people with their kids and that, and they're just going for a day out in London to show their support, because a lot of these people aren't even like politically minded. So they think they're going there and they're doing the best what they think they can do. Obviously, the people on stage have different intentions, but the people that are actually going there are people, and they generally do believe that they want our country to be English and they want our country to remain as it is. And nobody disagreed when we were telling them that we're going to become a minority. So it's definitely a good development moving forward. Like a year or two ago, it would have been a completely different turnout of us being there like that.
Well, Steve, when we were there as well, like, so we got there nice and early. Me and Sam were there at sort of 9:30. We met up and we meticulously planned this. So for anyone who thinks these things just fall into our lap, this was meticulously planned. Planning meetings, leaflet design meetings, banners ordered. It's like a military operation. And we, and I just want to let people know, this wasn't something that sort of fell out of thin air. This was weeks, if not months, of planning. And we chose to stand where we did because the muster point for the actual march was up the road. And we actually did this like a military operation. We had a planning meeting. We did it with a map up on screen. And we were like, if we stand here and we get these people here and these people stand here, we'll capture everything. And literally, that's what we did. And when we say it's a success, we're going to tell you how much of a success it was, because we've all seen these press releases by groups, you know, great success, you know, handed out this, seen by this, beeps from the car horns, everyone loved us. But it's hard to quantify how much of a success an event is. But this is what we did. The muster point was at the top of Upper Woburn Place. And because of that, we stood at the very bottom of Upper Woburn Place. And everyone coming from King's Cross, St. Pancras and Euston had to walk past us. So probably something like 90% plus of everybody that attended that event walked past the PA remigration group. And we had 15,000 plus specially printed leaflets, of which we gave out around 15,000. And when we say everyone saw it, they really did. So if there was 80,000 there, like the media said, you know, groups of four, groups of five, families were taking a leaflet, couples were taking, you don't need a leaflet for everybody because people were walking in big groups. Some groups of lads were there, like 10 or 12, and they took two leaflets. But everyone saw the leaflet. They were passing them around. They were reading them. We were holding them up, and people were like mobbing you to get them. That's how popular they were. And we had these two giant 5-meter banners as well. And we really made an impact. So the first thing I really want to go into now, all three of us were there. This wasn't something that was haphazard. It wasn't something that was spur of the moment. It was very, very well planned, perfectly executed and done. So I would say 80% plus of everybody at the event will have seen those leaflets because 90% of the people walked past us. And, you know, a small amount of those might have their heads in their phones or, you know, refused or weren't paying attention. But we had around 40 people there over the duration of the day handing out leaflets. You couldn't get past it. It was almost like we were this filter and everyone coming through us got the message. And this was probably the biggest concentration of patriots this year in one place. And for them all to see this message, a hardcore, full-on ethno-nationalist message about demographics, I don't think this has ever been done before.
No, and it wasn't like it was quiet either. Like, what is it? We had like Callum's down there on the megaphone. There was, I think it's one of your Remigration Now guys, Steve, who had like a little goatee. I don't know his name, but he was just like, he should have been working down like a fish market, you know. It's like he was just screaming at people. just going, it's like white minority, we're being replaced or whatever, and just like he was firing them out. I couldn't believe it. And if you had those moments where like a really big wave hit you and they didn't have time to actually look at the leaflet before taking one, and you had like a one or two no's in a row, I'd just go, it's like white's projected to be a minority by 2050, and all of a sudden like hands, and I couldn't get them out fast enough. And we had so many people there as well that it was tiered. So it's like if there was anyone missed by the first teams who were further out at junctions, they'd get hit by the second team. And if they were missed, then there was like the third team with like Mark and Steve and everything actually at the Woburn Place thing. So it's like everyone was getting these leaflets. And yeah, there was no question of whether the 15,000 were going out. Like as soon as I begun, it was like, and I was like, we're going to be done within the hour. And yeah, by the time it starts slow down, like 1 o'clock, we were just kind of milling about with like a handful left, you know, picking up some of the stragglers, but everyone had come past us at that point. We got down then, like I say, nice and early, meeting at 9:30. I think we were down there for 10 and it was just starting to pick up then. And it was just fast and furious for, you know, 2-3 hours. Then it was fantastic and such a white pilling kind of event because yeah, everyone was agreeing with you. And I don't think I got a single pushback. I think the only people at times was people who clearly weren't attending the event and kind of like London people living in London, loving London, who were just kind of like, oh, I would never. And it's like, all right, you know, it's like enjoy being replaced then, you know, and carry on your way. But just the spirits were so high. It was fantastic. I loved it.
What do you think, Steve? I mean, when we got there, I was a bit, you turned up and we were already sort of set up. But when you arrived, we were already like knee deep in handing stuff out. How did you feel the day went? Because I don't think I've ever had such a positive response in my life.
No, it was that's what it really surprised me. That's the thing that surprised me. And like what Sam was saying, like there were so many leaflets that when I'm going to hand people leaflets, they're already showing me that they've got two in their hand or something like that. And it's like, I've got one for me and my husband. And it's like, all right, okay, I'm just standing here like surplus to requirements now then. But it was good. It was really good feedback. And these were all just normal people. A lot of them aren't like politically motivated. They're not people that go to demos and attends like activist groups or anything like that. These were just normal people. And they very much agreed with the message. There was, like Sam said, there's no pushback on the message. Everyone understands now that we're going to become a minority in our country, and nobody wants that. So that's a huge development over the years. If you look from where we used to be years ago, basically shouting into the void, to now basically that entire thousands of people that walked past us, everyone agreed with the position. That's huge. That's huge amount of ground gains in a short amount of time. So it's a huge positive. And like, it wasn't like we was even being discreet and just sort of standing out the way and just doing it on a street corner. Like, we was the whole entrance points had our guys from left to right over the whole street. There was banners left and right, there was people with placards and stuff. It was really good. All of our guys were like really enthusiastic. Like you say, some of my guys were like really over enthusiastic. It's like the first time any of them have been.
You can't be too enthusiastic about replacement migration, Steve. You should know this. As the 100% guy, you should know this.
But that's what we want, though. We want people out there who are going to be committed and they're keen to go up to people. They weren't shy to talk about the issue if anyone wanted to talk about it. Everyone who was handing out leaflets was capable of explaining what the problem was and what the solution is. So I thought, all in all, it was like a 10 out of 10 event for us. Like, it couldn't have gone any better. The only thing that could have gone a little bit better, I suppose, is if we had more people there and we could have like had a bigger impact. But it's understandable why a lot of our guys didn't want to come to the event as well at the same time. So to get as many as we did there, I thought it was good.
In terms of the leafleting, it almost felt like we had too many people at some points, because like you say, we were like overlapping with these groups and everything. And it's like there were times when I was having to go, I can see that junction is covered, that junction is covered, that junction is covered, and I'd start handing out leaflets, and they, like you said, they'd already have handfuls of them, and it'd be like, it's like, all right, come on, it's like you, me, we're going to go, we're going to go like 100 metres out up the road to this junction and try and catch people before they've been hit by anyone else. But it would, yeah, like I say, it could have been great. It's like if there was an alternate team who weren't doing the leaflets, but maybe could have been doing something with banners while the leaflets is going on. But I mean, the crowd was just so huge that it's like it felt like everyone was just all hands on deck, get these leaflets out. And it's like having something else going on would have just been like just a distraction from the demographic thing, just getting them out.
Yeah, and when we were giving them out as well, I've got to say this. So my personal experience of this, I was stood by some traffic lights for a lot of the time. And as people were coming over, anyone that hadn't been caught by the first couple of teams, I was catching the walk, because it's very hard when you've got hundreds of people walking at you. One guy gets a few and then they hit, and we did it. We sort of tiered it. So it was almost like a military operation to make sure we caught as many people as possible. And as I said, we planned this all out with maps. You know, everyone mocks me for playing too many computer games, but years of Command and Conquer has allowed me to create a very good choke point. You know, I do understand the military advantages of
funneling. I was thinking more like one of those mobile tower defense games or something where you're just whittling down the crowd as it gets further past your leafleters.
That's what it's, yeah, like tower defense. How many Tommy people can you get with the demographic leaflets from your tower defense cannons? But when people were coming through, I remember shouting repeatedly, going, "White Britain set to be a minority," and people, the hands, it was hard to service that many people, even when they'd already been leafleted two or three times by the other groups. You were still so many, like, I want one, mate, I want one. And it was crazy to see the uptake. There was people who initially, when you were coming forward with the leaflets, who were sort of like putting their hand up, nah, mate. As soon as you said White Britain's to be like, oh, no, dude, I want that one. I want that. Let's have And the other thing that was really good about the literature...
Tell you what, Weimar, I think there were some religious groups outside, like, the stations, because you'd see people carrying these things, you know, with, like, quotes from the Bible or something like that. So I think they thought, it's like, oh, more of this that I'm not bothered about. Instead, it was like, no, it's demographics. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. That's actually what I want to read about. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
That's what I was getting. And I was just going to say before I throw it over to you guys that one of the things I really liked is people were taking the leaflets, reading them and putting them in their pockets. People wanted to read it. Like, there's times when people give you a leaflet and you take it out of politeness, you know, sort of, you know, some hot bird there. And she's like, oh, would you like a leaflet for this club night? And you're not going to say no because she's attractive. You give her a smile and you take it, but you put it in your back pocket. You never look at it again. But this wasn't a case of politeness. People wanted them. They read them. And the leaflet was hardcore. It gave the facts of demographics, the facts and the figures. Year 2000, we were 90%. Now we're 70%. It's taking 25 years to get to here. Another 25, we'll be gone. You know, this isn't about stop the boats. We've got to stop the illegals. But the big, real big problem is the actual legal migrants. It's, you know, the small boats are the tip of the iceberg. And we actually put it all in there. This wasn't a leaflet. Like when we go to, you see, look, what I'm trying to say here before I throw it over to the guys is when we go to the public and it's a public demo, we go with stop the boats, remigration now, close the hotels, because that's a more public, normie friendly face. But knowing these were people who were already awoke to like the issues of the small boats and the hotels, this was a harder leaflet. And they loved it. And there's always that. There's always that kind of like feeling in the pit of your stomach. Well, there is for me because I designed the leaflets. There's always that feeling in the pit of my stomach. Will this disappoint people? Will it be too much? Has it got the right tone? And the response we got, I was so relieved and at the same time so happy because it was just the right note. So what do you guys think of the stuff that we had? And, you know, how do you think people received it all?
I think it was received really well. Another important point was this wasn't like a recruitment thing for any of us either. This was clearly just raising awareness on the demographics of what was happening. None of us really had time to go to any sort of process of saying, oh, join this organization or join this. It was simply just read about this, learn about this issue. This is what you need to know about. So then they've got the right information in front of them so they can actually understand the problems. That's because we know they're going to the Tommy March and this sort of stuff's not going to be spoken about on stage. So what we need to do is make sure they understand it on the way to the event. And then whatever else happens after is out of our hands, but at least we've given them the right information. But I think what we've done and how we approached it was definitely the right way.
Yeah, I think the majority of those attending are, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Steve, where it's like if you were to kind of pay really close attention to Tommy, then you'd think like as soon as you saw Steve Laws, you'd be like, it's like I've got to beat him up for Tommy, you know. It's like, but really most of these people, they're not paying that close attention to politics, and it's more that it's like these UTK things are so big and they're spread so wide, you know, through Facebook X and all this kind of thing, that even the most low information kind of voters are picking up that something's happening, and they're go into it being like, yes, I see what's happening in my neighborhood. I really want change. And this is being promoted as the revolution. So I'm going to be there for it. But, you know, we're basically getting in there ahead of time being, it's like, you're going to get down there. It's not going to be the revolution. It's going to be the African revivalist choir for 3 hours. And then, you know, some pretty tame Sivnat speakers going up there and being like, if we all just, you know, engage in tolerance, then, Britain will be great again. And it's like, this doesn't make sense. So getting in there at that muster point beforehand and kind of priming the audience for it's like, hey, you're here, we're talking demographics. And then for them to get there and be, it's like, none of that's going to be addressed. It creates that dissonance that makes them go, it's like, oh, this isn't the answer. There needs to be something else. And hopefully that's where they begin to dig a bit deeper and find groups like PA. And Remigration Now and, you know, myriad of other things, and just generally get more engaged.
Yeah, I've got to ask you both this then, Because one of the things I think Tommy's having a problem with, and as I said, his events built up to this massive crescendo in September last year, you know, a couple of months after Southport, maybe weeks after the big protests, the trouble, it was all on the back of also migrant hotel protests. A lot of people turned up for that, and there was a big downturn in the number of people there this time, which I don't think it was just because it was FA Cup final day. But do you think some people are getting a little tired of turning up to see the same black gospel singers, to see, you know, Lawrence Fox looking increasingly dishevelled with another, you know, harem of, you know, non-white women? Do you think people are getting bored of this? And the reason I ask is because people go there, and like I said, they spend a lot of money for that day out. But as of yet, well, we hijacked this event and turned it into an ethno-nationalist one, and people were happy to see what we were saying and that we actually offered a solution. We actually offered some kind of political call. You know, we need to stop immigration. We need to start deportations. We want a country where we're the overwhelming majority. But Tommy offers none of that, does he? At these events, there's no actual solutions, no action points, no let's follow up with this, let's do something. It's just this weird selection of people on stage with often different viewpoints. And when you walk away into the night, what is the left? You know, when everyone clears the stage, the last drinks have been drunk, everyone's back in the hotel room, you know, snuggled up, you know, in the Premier Inn.
Face down in the Premier.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. So, but what do you think, guys? I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, because I think a few of our activists hung around to see the actual event, and I'd love to know. It's like, how does an event like that end? Because when we do, you know, one of our demonstrations, it ends with a call to action: join up, get involved. With Tommy, there's nothing to be involved in. It's the one man band. So it's kind of like, you know, subscribe, you know, it's like you're finishing your huge, like, you know, history making demonstration with essentially the end of like a YouTube video, you know, like and subscribe, you know, for more content. And yeah, it's such a bizarre event, and I can't see, I mean, a lot of people there, everyone's having fun. You know, even if you're just walking around, like the pure spectacle of the thing, just seeing so many flags, people dressed up. Like there was a guy who was like full Teutonic Crusader kind of helmet and everything. It must have been boiling. But he, like some people were just really giving it the whole nine yards. And it's very entertaining. But yeah, you'd want to see some change come from that. And I mean, Keir Starmer in this case basically like preempted any ideas that anything would change from this by saying it's like this is happening tomorrow, we're going to completely ignore it, and everyone who goes is a hateful bigot, so you know, deal with that. So there's not even that idea that the government's going to listen to you, because before you've even got there, they're saying like, no, our eyes are shut, our ears are plugged, you know, have a good time, but don't expect anything from it. So, and I mean, on the lead up to this one, we saw a number of kind of relatively large names who kind of on the Tommy side of things, or previously on the Tommy side of things, saying it's like, I'm not going to this one. You know, we did this last time, and all it turned into was like a crypto scam. I mean, the UTK live stream, it's got Tommy's crypto scam and his son's questionable trading app, like on the bottom right. You know, it's like all this stuff just reeks of self-service, as opposed to any sort of sacrifice and willingness to actually make a change. It seems to be very much, it's like, we're going to sit within this system and make a little bit of noise, but not too much noise, and really allow things to continue. So I'd hope that everyone who attended kind of walks away from that. And if they're, you know, kind of compass mentis, goes like, it's like, there was a lot of energy there. Surely that can be channeled down better avenues than, you know, directly up Tommy's nose.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Steve's back yet. I'm sure he'll tell us when he's out to just step away to look after the kids. This is a good way to segue into a few of the weirder things about the event. Now, one thing that was really good was there was less Israeli flags yesterday. We only saw two or three, didn't we? Now, the one I went to previously where they sort of collared me and threw me out, there were so many Israeli flags. But this one, virtually none. I think I saw three. That's not to say there was only three there, but I only saw three. Conversely, and this was weird, and I remember you coming over to me and saying, mate, what's going on? There were dozens, if not hundreds, of Iranian flags, weren't there? And Tommy had somehow managed to get literally hundreds and hundreds of displaced Iranians with the original Iranian Shah's flag. So it's like the current Iranian flag, but with the symbol of the Shah of Iran on it, rather than the current symbol that, you know, is on the Iranian flag in place today. And there were so many of them. And clearly, these Iranians were there so Tommy could push this thing of, well, look, these people are great. We need to bring more of them here. And this should be a reason why we start bombing Iran. You know, these are good people and we need to bomb Iran for them. But it was weird, wasn't it? Because so few ethnic minorities, fewer Star of Davids, but then this really big, weird outlier of just hundreds of Iranians. And at times, like, so when the lights changed, at times it'd be sort of dozens and dozens of white guys with Union Jacks, St. George's crosses. But then every now and then again, there'd be the same sort of number, you know, just not all the time, but like sort of every 10th sort of crossing. And it'd all be like Iranians, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, there was a group of them doing a bit like a circuit back and forth between East and King's Cross up until about 12 o'clock when they then went down Woburn Road. And clearly they forced themselves to the front of the crowd, because we see them in the actual demonstration. They're right up front, and they definitely didn't get there first. But they were just making such a racket as well. They had drums and those vuvuzelas and everything, just making an absolute nuisance of themselves. And they were really just met with perplexity from the people around them, because we'd see the UTK attendees who would be stuck behind them, and they'd just be kind of going, what the hell are these guys doing here? And as far as they were concerned, they were like, it's like, well, they look like the pro-Palestine people who are supposed to be on the other side of town. So they were viewed with suspicion, where it's kind of like, it's like, are we attacking them? like, what's going on here? You know, and it's like, no, you've got to understand that it's like, Tommy's an Israeli asset, and these pro-Shah, they're an Israeli asset as well. And it's like, the reason they're there, you know, and it's like, because it's like, for some people, they don't understand the difference between the flags. So they were like, it's like, the pro-Iran people here? It's like, what's going on? It's like, and one of the people I was with was kind of like, it's like, oh, they're brilliant. They'll be really anti-Israel. And I was like, no. No, they're going to love Israel. so it was an odd crowd. But yeah, they were just going back and forth. And I think two of the times they went past us, me and my teammate, we just lifted them and they took them, you know, quite happily and everything. So it was a really odd turnout. But yeah, they just... I mean, we'd seen the video, was it a few days ago, where Tommy drove past the pro-Shah protest, and they're all like coming up to the window, and it's like, oh, Tommy, we love you, shaking his hand and everything. He's loving it. He's drinking it all in. And you're just like, oh my God, he probably got in touch after that and was like, don't worry, we've got prime of place for you. You know, it's like priority seating right at the front, so you can enjoy Doolan's choir. And it's like they probably left and went, it's like, actually the Ayatollah's got it right. We need to end this. this is the great Satan. I've never seen anything worse.
That was bad. I've got to say as well, the other thing that I didn't like is, and this wasn't everybody, but criticism needs to go out to this, because both me and Sam on the way home, and our sort of trip on the way home was much more subdued, not because we hadn't had a brilliant day, but because we were just so knackered on the train on the way home. Yeah. Had to get more Red Bulls in on the train just to not to fall asleep. But it was one of those weird things, because there was a lot of people drinking heavily, and there was some smoking weed as well. There wasn't as many weed smokers this time as there was the first one I went on, which is an improvement. But it is disappointing to see people in such a terrible state. I mean, people walk, this is a political rally and it's meant to be a family one. And there was people walking down the street with massive carrier bags full of tinnies. There was women with those, they're like little circular, almost like Christmas baubles that go on the tree that are just full of pre-mixed shots. I think they call them buzz balls. And they were, we saw them like, oh, give us another one of those, Tracy. Give us a grape and pineapple. Oh, get it down, you lass. And it was a little bit like, look, this is a serious event about saving, meant to be about saving the future of our people. The disagreement, you could be said, is on who are our people. We would say white Britons, and Tommy's lot would say, well, it's everyone. But as the day went on, a few people who stayed later texted me actually and said, you should have seen the state of some of the people who were like putting themselves forward to give interviews at the end, you know, totally ratted. You know, they'd been there since 10 o'clock in the pubs. They were absolutely hammered. They'd had far too much to drink. And it is disappointing to see. I remember one of my friends went to one of these events, and he was actually with a guy who got so drunk he wet himself. He wet himself at the event in front of police officers. And they had to carry him to a hotel, use his card to book him in somewhere because he wasn't allowed on the train because he was just soaked with his own urine. And my mate said to me, he says, I'm never going back again, mate. And I said, was it that bad? And he was like, yeah. He says, I had to carry a guy across Tower Bridge as urine was dripping down his legs. He said, it was just horrible. The police threw us off the... you know, we were about to get on the underground. The police threw us off, marched us out there because he'd wet himself. And we had to take him and book him into a hotel. And I do feel that one of the negatives that Tommy brings, he brings out big crowds. But it is embarrassing when you're saying, look, let's get together and save the country. And people are treating it as if it's sort of, I don't know. What can I say?
Well, it's kind of like an admission that it's not that serious because three 4 hours before it's even started, you're paralytic. So it's like clearly you're not expecting the call from Tommy to storm Downing Street because it's like you're going to be like crawling there. You know, it's an admission that it's like we're going to go there, we're going to get absolutely hammered, and we'll be lucky if we make it to the actual event. I don't think they were in the majority, but the ones who were there really making a show of themselves. And it's like of the crowds coming through, you could see them, you know, way more boisterous than everyone else in a rush to get there and everything. And yeah, it just shows there is a lack of discipline and alcohol's got a lot to answer for here. But it was sad to see that the ones who seem to be, you know, really blathered, a lot of them seem to be some of the most physically capable of those attending, you know, some really young strapping lads who were just hammered. And it's like, you know, hopefully it doesn't kick off. Cause it's like, it's like you're going to be the ones targeted. But it just lends itself. I mean, the advertisement for the event, you know, reiterated over and over again. I don't know if it said don't drink or just drink responsibly. But that clearly wasn't paid attention to. You know, the pubs were spilling out onto the street there and everything. And as we were walking back, you know, I mean,
that's going to cut in. But when we arrived at 9:30, there were people coming out of the boozers, weren't they, with plastic glasses at 9:00.
Yeah, it's like already like stripped, like, and it's, oh my God. But it's like there were a ton of people when we left at like 1:00, when everyone had kind of moved on to the actual event, we were... heading back to the station, and the pubs were still very full of people who clearly looked like they were supposed to be at the event, and some stragglers and everything. You're just like, but we've had this before, like when we went to that demonstration, was it Telford, when Tommy was doing his documentary thing, and we ended up doing a demonstration after they'd kind of moved on, and there were people who came out of the pub where they'd been gathering, who went, it's like loved your speech, really good demonstration, guys. And we're like, you're not going down to the demo? And it's like, no, I come here for the piss up and the punch up, mate, you know, well in. And it's like, all right. But it's like, probably not going to make a kind of revolutionary force out of people like that. You know, it's just fundamentally unserious, but nothing about UTK speaks to seriousness. It's like, no, you're going to get Ricky Doolin doing this bizarre faith healing. You know, I mean, he's posted videos of him like healing people on the street through the power of prayer, you know, just ridiculous stuff. And just looking at him, you just go, it's like, what are we doing? So it's just people go there and go like, this is a bit of fun. And really something like a demonstration about this, about such serious topics as well. You know, I think they had the Pink Ladies up on stage, you know, and they're there talking about the rapes that are happening every day. And, you know, they're speaking to a crowd who, you know, just absolutely hammered. And it's a real shame. But actually, there were tons of people there, a lot of families, you know, people bringing their kids and everything. And that, again, is something, you know, it's a big event. You know there's going to be kids there. It's like, maybe don't get paralytic and, you know, be pissing yourself in front of police and everything.
We're going to pass it over to Steve now. But before I do, I mean, I think I'd rather have a small... If somebody said to me, would you rather have 100,000 people and have the drunks, or would you rather have 80,000 people and it'd be sort of more of a teetotal event where it was like all families and, you know, people who were there to be serious? I'd rather get rid of the people who were drunk, because, you know, by the end of the night, you know, people were saying there was people sort of stalking around who'd been in the pub most of the day, you know, and they were looking, you know, there was journalists and vloggers and all this there looking for these people to get the next Muslimic ray guns. You know, it was just, oh, Steve, I mean, we're talking about the bad things now, mate. I believe you're back. But, you know, we're just saying we felt the sort of the level of alcohol at the event made it slightly unserious. But what did you, and we also talked about the amount of Iranians there, but what did you think were the worst aspects of the day?
Well, the worst thing was the amount of foreigners there, obviously, like all the Iranians and stuff like that. Obviously, in an ideal world, they would not be there, would they? So that's the worst thing. But yeah, there was a lot of people that were drunk and stuff. But like, the thing with these events is they're not political demonstrations. They're more like festivals, because there was people there like with stalls selling flags and selling hats and badges and all sorts of malarkey. You know, like when you get outside the Eiffel Tower and you get all like the looky-looky guys selling like loads of tat. That's basically what was happening, but they was like pitched about all of the way up to the mustering point for the demo. So the whole thing was like a circus, really. And then you look at like what was on stage, like these African bands, and I see one of the Ricky Doolan songs that he was singing. And it was just bloody ridiculous, and I'm thinking, the cameraman who was filming the audience like would just do random cuts, and it'd be like some Iranian like gasping, and then it would be like some little mixed race baby, and then it'd be like three black women, and it's just like, yeah, you look really hot. It's like, judging by the people that have walked past us, it's like you've definitely been scoping out to find those shots as well. It's like, who's on the camera? Do you know what I mean?
It's the that meme that's been going around of the guy from, oh god, what's that film called with Jim Carrey, the Truman Show, where it's kind of like get him to a nationalist protest, make everyone brown. it's mental. But yeah, like the lucky men, like we were having to contend with them, because if they got too close to you, because they see like, oh, there's a lot of attention around you, that would then scare people away because they think you're hawking something. So at one point, the lady I was working with, she was like, yeah, piss off you. It's like, you run it, and he's like, all right, sorry. You know, but I mean, they were all white, and a few of them took leaflets off me as well. And they were interested to read them. You know, I mean, clearly these guys were just making the best of a situation, really. You know, I mean, they were selling just the cheapest plastic flags for a tenner each. I think they were down to a fiver by the time we were walking back to the station. I heard someone trying to get one. But it's just like, what a spectacle, what a festival of for Tommy.
So after this, we've had an amazing response, and to get 15,000 leaflets out in one day, I don't think such a small group of nationalists have ever managed to put 15,000 leaflets out in, you know, three and a half hours. It was amazing. And, you know, I'd love to see more people join us if we do this again. You know, get in touch with Remigration now, get in touch with PA and sign up. But the next thing I was going to ask is, what do you think to the response from people who don't like us? Because Liam Tufts has agreed to have me on his show, but now he's gone silent and he hasn't rung me or anything. He's obviously been told not to by Tommy, but people need to keep pressuring him. But Tommy has made sort of violent threats today towards me and Steve and then deleted the tweet. But this is interesting, isn't it? You know, Tommy's response is that he's going to knock us out. That's basically what he said. You know, when I see these guys in real life, I'm putting them to sleep straight away.
I saw a reply to that tweet from someone I follow that said, like, once the coke, like, you, once you come down off the coke, you're going to delete this tweet. And then, like, the next screenshot was it deleted. And it was just like, yeah, this guy must have been flying high. And I was saying to you, one day, it's like that George Bush thing where it's like the guy leans into him to say the towers are being hit. And he's like, PA and Steve Laws are down at the muster point. And he's like, God damn it! You know, it's like 99999. But yeah, it's he's fuming because I mean, he just can't contend with this. He understands even his own audience are eager for something more, and that's his job, is to kind of keep them contained on this kind of black and white, unite everyone together. If you know, as long as they convert, you know, I mean, the number of videos now where he's been interviewed and complaining about, you know, his hometown of Luton, you know, it's like, it's not English anymore, it's not English. And then the guy goes, like, it's like, all right, what about Sikhs? And he goes, yeah, that's fine. And it's like, what are we doing? It's like, dude, if you're going to talk English and talk ethnicity implicitly within that, and then be like, no, if we're replaced by Sikhs, it's fine, you know, on the same day, you know, that Nowak kid got murdered by one, you know, because they're religiously exempt from the knife rules that restrict native British people from carrying like a basic penknife. It's madness.
So Steve, what do you think to Tommy losing his cool? Because we really must have got to him. He must have seen these leaflets. He must have heard what we did. There must have been people in the crowd talking about what we were doing. And he really lost his cool over this, didn't he? He was very angry that we were there.
Yeah, he was, he had a bit of a chimp at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I think, from what I can work out. And then one of my guys sent me the screenshot in the morning. And he's like, yeah, Tommy threatened to beat you up last night. It's like, oh, well, not what's new here. It just gets carried away. And the thing is, like, he's got to understand, well, he does understand. This is the thing. He understands exactly what way the wind is blowing. That's why he's adopting our talking points and saying words like remigration and things like that. But he can't contain his audience no more. He hasn't got his hands over them no more and like controlling their thoughts and saying, actually, this is bad. Like, you should all be uniting and everyone like that, because they don't believe it no more. Everyone's seen what's happened. Since Southport happened and the riots, everything's changed since then, really. Like, the attitude in the public now is just like, they've got to go. But most people will look at a brown person when they're uptown and think it's an illegal. That's what they will think naturally. Like, the most normal people would just look at like a brown person and they go, oh, that's an illegal. They don't realise it's illegal, an immigrant or anything, but they naturally oppose what's going on. That's the point. So, like, my attitude is fuck Tommy anyway, to be honest. Like, he's not in control of London. We weren't even at his demo. We was like outside train stations. We was nowhere near his mustering points or anything like that. There was fuck all he could do. We just caught people walking on their way there. It's no different than any other trader or anything else like that, standing on the street and catching someone on the way. There was nothing he could have done about it. And that's why he's so frustrated about it, to be honest with you. And here's the thing, he was walking around his event with like hundreds of security, and like we're not exactly the most popular among CivNats, like us three mostly. So we just turned up with our banners and our leaflets and just got on with it. And like I think that's really frustrated him, to be honest. And it didn't help that obviously Hope Not Hate was like taking pictures of all of us like and sharing it all over Twitter and then egging it all on.
Yeah, I mean, I had multiple people kind of pick me out and recognize me, which has never happened before. But it's like, this is someone who every media report was like, neo-Nazi, piece of crap, you know, and it's like, and they were going, it's like, oh, you're amazing. It's like, thanks for everything you do and everything. It's like, and they're the ones going to the Tommy rally. So it's like, clearly Tommy's rhetoric of kind of, it's like as long as the, you know, Nazis are even worse than the illegal migrants or whatever, it's clearly not landing anymore. And like you say, since Southport, everyone's just absolutely sick of it, you know, and the evidence piles on against the state day after day. And I can only hope that some portion of that crowd kind of move on and go like, I want to get involved with something serious that isn't just a piss up and, you know, brand promotion for Ricky Doolan, gold theft and cryptocurrency scams, you know.
So where does he go from here? Because this is an interesting thing. Where does he actually go? Because
Israel.
Well, this event is smaller than the last one.
He's got to receive the briefcase for the cat. Another job well done.
By tonight, he's on a beach in Tel Aviv somewhere drinking his kosher wine. But where does he go? I mean, obviously, I think he'll probably do this again. But I think it's going to be a law of diminishing returns up to a point, because if you're not offering people anything, and he's not offering them community, he's not offering them a political party, he's not offering them any form of follow-up or action other than, like you say, invest in this gold, do this crypto, join my son's, you know, Forex, you know, trading app. But he hasn't actually done anything or built anything, has he? It's just the whole thing seems so vacuous. And I think that at the end of it, when people walk away, I don't think you actually feel like you've changed anything. And I've got to say, one thing I felt, on the way home, we were knackered. And when I woke up this morning, I was still a little bit of a high, to be honest, but you do wonder how much of this the powers that be actually like. Because, you know, you get all these people out, they spend all their money, they spend a day out. I mean, if everyone, you know, if there was 80,000 people there, as the press stated, and they all spent, you know, £100, well, that's a lot of money, isn't it? You know, that is a lot. That's a lot of money. That's millions and millions of pounds that could have been spent building a political organization. It could have been spent building, you know, a massive community center for us, buying land. You know, this is the sort of situation where I look at Tommy and I think to myself, you know, potentially there, mate, you've wasted, you know, the best part of £10 million, maybe more, of the movement's money on this big kind of day out where you've made the most profit. But at what point do people get sick of it and say, we want to hear more? Because people did want to hear more on the day. They do want to hear about demographics, and they do want an action plan for at least some kind of change. And I'm looking at it and thinking to myself, where does he go from here? I mean, I might be wrong. He might do another one in September or October, and it might be bigger than ever before. But I think the only way it would be bigger than ever before is if there is another Southport, if there is another Manchester arena bombing, and then it's just an outpouring of anger. And once people have had the feeling that they've done something, they go back to normie land.
Mm. I mentioned to you on the train down there, so it's like, because you were talking about the stations not being as full. And I said, it's like, well, there hasn't been a mass attack that recently. You know, the last one was Southport, like, and that was the back end of, almost a year and a half ago at that point now. But we know on the lead up to it that he was trying to call Restore and Rupert Lowe to be there. And I think Restore wisely stayed away from it. But clearly he is feeling some sort of pressure that it's like, I am going to have to start directing this towards something that's productive, because, you know, and it's not going to be him who's leading the productive thing, but it's like, it's starting to be quite obvious now that these things are happening and nothing's coming out of it. And actually Restore have made a lot of ground, by basically staying away from me as far as possible. So in order to kind of retain my legitimacy, I've basically got to invite them on stage. And I know that Orla Minahan was there with the Pink Ladies, but she declined to speak because she didn't want it to be about Restore and for Restore to be linked too closely to it. So there's a very interesting dynamic there where Tommy's keen to kind of get his hooks in and they're very kind of like, oh, nah, we'll keep our distance for the time being, if that's all right, Tommy. You know, it's not the best look to have you on board, and it kind of dictates to us exactly, you know, no matter what our policy is, as soon as Tommy's on board, his policy is your policy, because he's just got such a huge platform.
Well, I think the Restore thing, I think they're playing it quite well in terms of balancing the two factions, if I'm honest with you, because it's not easy. Like, for instance, they've got the nationalists, who obviously are side of things, and then you've got all like the Tommy Lott Sivnat types, who you still need to come out and vote for you on the day. So you can't just go against them and start publicly attacking them and things like that. But you also don't want to be linked on stage speaking at their event. So I think Rupert, like, sort of praising the crowd that was there, although it's not something I would like, the way he done it under a Tommy post is not the way I would do it, but the way he's like praised the crowd there, but also like not turned up and spoken stuff, is like a healthy middle ground, I think, for someone in his position. You couldn't really expect him to do much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a bit sort of more lukewarm on Restore than you are, but I mean, the way I see it, Ben Habib was there, and he is a snake. He is an absolute snake, that guy. Not a fan of his. I think...
I mean, after that Advance UK performance in these recent local elections, it's like, just fold up, dude. What are we doing? What a waste of time.
Well, exactly. I mean, I would say, personally, you know, every political party that Tommy has got behind has flopped big style. He got behind the original British Freedom Party. That failed. He got behind the Gerard Batten incarnation of UKIP. That failed. He got behind Anne-Marie Waters's For Britain. That failed. He stood himself as an independent in the northwest of England. That failed. Everything that he's backed politically does go down in flames. And let's face it, he has been boosted and naturally recently by Elon Musk. You know, a lot of this is Elon Musk's doing, because he wants to build Tommy Robinson up, because Tommy Robinson's the ultimate Zionist. That's why we're not allowed on X, because we'd push back against him and say, look, there's a better way. He doesn't want that. Elon Musk doesn't want that. Tommy Robinson is there for a reason. But I think if he joined forces with Rupert Lowe, I don't think they would get on well together. I think both of them have got quite big egos. They're both used to being in charge. They would, when they double down on something, they double down on it as well, which they're not people that can really compromise. Neither of them compromise. I don't think they'd work together well. He probably did best to stay away. We did see a few people in Restore Britain t-shirts and hats, but really there are a lot of people there, as we said, especially the ones who were there to booze, that I don't think you could actually turn into political activists. You know, I don't think you'd be able to corral everyone there and turn them into the kind of people we need if we were going to sort of basically build a genuine movement for change. You know, the people who were there just to have a drink and have a bit of a Barney, they're not going to be people that would want to come to something more serious, like a, you know, a conference.
You could turn them into voters, though.
I think there's a lot of people out there
showing up on polling day absolutely hammered. like, it's only polling day, and they're like, gotta get a few beers down me.
You know, but yeah, as I said, it's an interesting one. So we're coming to sort of the end of what we'll do, and we'll do the super chats in a second. If anyone wants super chat, if anyone wants to support us financially, please do. Now's the time. You can only do it through Rumble. As I've said many times, Entropy's been closed down. This has hit content creators hard. If people who are on Entropy would like to support me, you can support me through Substack. The links are in the description. That's a recurring donation. Or you can turn up at Rumble, and they still do accept proper donations. And if you'd like to support me, please do. But is there anything else you guys would like to bring up before we do the Super Chats?
No, I'm good. I think we've covered pretty much the whole day there.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I think you can move on to the Super Chats.
Superb. Well, look, we'll do the Super Chats. James Bruce 1488 gave $10. Thank you so much. He said, "Hey, Mark, I've been watching your show for years. I'm sorry to hear about entropy going down. I'll do what I can to help you. Love from America." Well, thank you so much. And look, I appreciate everyone that's jumped over to Substack and followed me there. I appreciate everyone who still jumped over to Rumble to donate. It means a great deal to me because obviously it sort of destabilizes any content creator when one of our sources of income, especially our biggest source of income, is just chopped out and gone forever. Don't mind me, 91 gave $50. Thank you so much. He said, "Just chipping in some petrol money. We'll look forward to watching this on catch up. Keep up the great work, gents." Well, thank you so much. Hazelnut 3000 gave 10. Thank you so much. And said, "Sounds like a success. Donation to replenish the coffers." Well, thank you very much. Pops and Me 22 gave $2. Thank you so much. And he said, "Hi, Mark. Well done to everyone spreading awareness. Shared over the pictures from you guys to the crusaders.gg. Also plugged Sam's book too." Thank you very much. And Flemish Fighter gave $20. Thank you so much. And said, "Were you pleased with the turnout of young people and students? In the UK, do students, organisations or fraternities play a significant role in mobilising people for patriotic events like this one?" Well, that's actually an interesting point that we didn't discuss. Now, Sam, you sort of, I'll throw this straight over to you and I'll give my thoughts at the end. You and Steve go first on this one, but you did sort of voice a little bit of your frustration to me on the way back that the demographics of this were largely kind of 50 plus kind of older white guys. There wasn't a lot of young people there, was there? It did seem like a much older, I would say the average guy there, or the average person there, was sort of probably 50 plus, looks like they might have been a football lad when they were younger.
I mean, I think part of that contribution is just the, literally the cost of getting there and the cost of the event. I mean, if you're a young guy, you know, somewhere between 70 to 100 plus on a train ticket, assuming you're coming back at like awkward times. I mean, if you actually stayed for the event, I presume the ticket prices for kind of post-event kind of times in the late afternoon, evening, then like skyrocketed. It's that would have restricted a hell of a lot of time. But there were a few groups of younger guys, and I made sure to, you know, like when I saw them coming towards me, it's like, "Really important information, guys. It's your future. You know, like learn about this and understand the pressure that you are going to be under, you know, because a lot of these older attendees, whatever, it's, I mean, I did get every so often the odd kind of like, I'll be long dead by then, mate. You know, still took the leaflet, you know, still there at the Unite the Kingdom rally, but it's, but clearly kind of understanding that the fight is going to be in the future, way beyond them. But yeah, it's definitely not a super young crowd. But like I say, the cost purely prohibitive. That it's like it's going to be people who have got things a bit more established, and you know, we know with social groups now that young that it's like if you were busy on Saturday the 16th, it's like maybe questions would be asked in the group chat, and all of a sudden, you know, you find your university mates are dobbing you into the dean of the university or whatever. You know, it's such a fraught atmosphere out there for them. But the young people who were there, you know, switched on in good shape, you know, it seemed promising for the kind of future of nationalism in terms of the youth who were there.
I think there's another factor to it as well, is it's showing that civic nationalism is dying because the younger generation don't want it. That's another factor that you got to put into it, because a lot of the youth that I speak to, like, and all the younger lot that get involved in our activism, they absolutely despise Tommy. They absolutely hate him. So going to one of his events, even just to try and wake up some more people, they just can't bring themselves to do it. So I think a lot of these younger lot are staying away as like a sign to say, "Look, we don't support this. This isn't what we want." Because even though our events are a lot smaller, they're a lot younger in like terms of people coming out and showing support. So I think it's showing that the message is that a lot of the younger guys want something a lot harder. They want something a lot with a bit of substance to it. They don't want to go there and watch Africans on stage whilst they're being demographically replaced. It's just like, it's almost like laughing in their face almost. It's like, yeah, you've got no future, but look, here's the people replacing you dancing on stage. It's like, yeah, that's not going to sell it to like a 19-year-old nationalist. It's just not happening. Yeah. So I think that's a factor to play into it.
Yeah, they're very aware of cringe and slop, and it's like Tommy's there being, it's like, I've got all the cringe and slop you boys can have, get it down you. And it's like, nah, you're all right, thanks, we'll stay home and go to the demo where Steve Laws and Mark Collett and Hugh Anthony are talking at, you know.
I'll give my take on this. So I did think there was, I don't think it was a bad crowd, as I said. I think overall it was really good. There was the sort of problem with the drinking and a few people smoking weed, which I always hate to see. It's disgusting. But it was a slightly older demographic. And one thing I think that's quite interesting, you know, when you see these big pro-Palestine marches where there's a lot of Muslims, have you noticed how many of their women actually come out on the marches with them? I do find that interesting, that kind of like the nationalist sort of demonstration is kind of like slightly older, slightly more male, like the Tommy Robinson, slightly older, slightly more male. And, you know, it was good to see some families there. But it is interesting that it isn't sort of like the young lads, and there's not as many women there as you see other communities manage to pull out. You know, I'm not exactly sure why that is. I do agree with Sam to a degree that it's expensive for younger people, but I would have liked to have seen it be slightly younger, because obviously you want our young people to be there on the sort of front line and be like, yeah, I want to be there. I want to be doing something. I want to get stuck in. And I kind of wonder what our next generation is going to look like, because the younger generation is far more diverse than our generation, which is more diverse than the generations that have gone before. And that does sort of slightly concern me. I don't know what, I saw you unmute there, Steve, so I don't know if you've got anything to add about that.
I was just going to say, like with the Muslims bringing their wives, obviously if you've got three of them to bulk out the crowd, it's going to help with numbers in there. So, but yeah, like in terms of the next generation, they are more radical though. This is the thing. It is diverse. Like they have got a hell of a lot more like, foreigners in terms of their age group and stuff. But the ones that do turn to nationalism, they're a hell of a lot more radical than I am. But if anything, I'm like the last of the moderates. These guys think differently. And I think the next generations, when they realize that it's a ticking time bomb, and if nothing is reversed in that over the next 10 to 15 years, then I generally do think these next generations coming through are going to be a hell of a lot radical than anything we've seen before in the past. And I'm not saying that's something they want to do. I feel like it's going to be something they're going to be forced into.
Okay, thank you. Draven J gave $50. Thank you so much. Said, I've always wondered if/how Tommy could be used by the cause as a useful idiot. And I think you found a way to do this. When is his next gig? Well, I think that's really one of the things that Tommy does. He pulls people in. I think he spends their money and their time and their energy unwisely, leaving them burnt out. But he also diverts them away from ethno-nationalism. He's been very good at that. So it's a multi-pronged effort, really. And I always do feel kind of aggrieved by that. And I feel aggrieved by that because genuine ethno-nationalists tend to work extremely hard, yet not always get the most in donations compared to people like Tommy Robinson. And we always at least try to put forward some kind of solution, you know, like, well, we're going to build a community. We're going to try and do this. We're going to help the prisoners. We're going to, you know, we're going to go to a place where people have been groomed and offer them a solution. We're going to call for political action. We're going to do banner drops. We're going to try to build a nationwide structure to help people. Right, we'll do help the homeless. You know, we're always doing something like that to help on a micro level. You know, there's always these people who've got these big macro ideas, like we're going to help change the whole country. But here we are trying to help people who are really in need on a micro level. But Tommy's all about helping himself, and it always annoys me that he kind of gets away with it. I'm not saying, you know, I begrudge him earning a living, but he is living really, really well at the expense of people who don't have that much. And he's not really giving them anything in return. There's nothing tangible coming back from him, you know, unless you feel that a Ricky Doolan gospel hour is something tangible. I mean, I suppose it is tangible, but it's also turgid crap. I don't want the gospel hour. We will move on to the next super chat. The Angry Bootnik gave $10. Great to see you here tonight, mate. And he says, tell Sam I forgive him for standing me up, the baldy twat. I hope you're well, Mark. I'll take you for a pint next trip home if I make it through arrivals at Heathrow. Why did you stand up our good friend, the Angry Bootnik?
We were supposed to stream at 9, and I said I'd be a tad late because I was called onto a last-minute stream with Mark, and basically, I know that the Angry Bootnik's a good, he's an ocean away, whereas Mark is within reach. So I had to keep someone sweet, and it had to be Mark.
I know people basically, I hide my power level well, but even the big baldy man fears a Marky C outburst. You never know when it's going to come, but when it does, no one wants to be in the blast radius. That's all I'll say. We've got a serious super chat here. I mean, really, me and Steve could do an entire stream on this. So we're not going to make this an entire stream because that would be a stream in itself. But ACHUSA gave $5. Thank you so much. And he said, what are your thoughts on Restore standing in Makerfield? Well, I think everyone knows what my thoughts are on that, but I'll state them. Restore standing in Makerfield is an absolutely terrible idea. Makerfield is a make or break by-election for the Labour Party. If Labour win and Andy Burnham gets in Makerfield, he has the chance of taking over the party, reuniting Labour, and Labour seeing a little bit of a resurgence. If Andy Burnham loses in Makerfield, that will cause Labour to enter a period of protracted civil war, recriminations, and a further nosedive into political irrelevancy. That is what we want. That's what we want to see. Now, if Restore stand against Reform, that will split the vote. And Reform in Makerfield just won every single council ward on May the 7th. So Restore have just had a clean sweep of the council seats in Makerfield. They are poised to take that election from Labour. And I worry that a full, well-funded Restore campaign wouldn't see Restore beat Reform. I think Reform would comfortably beat Restore, but the number of Restore votes could cause Labour to get in. And we've got Labour on the ropes. Labour is essentially now on life support. And I want to pull the plug. I want to see Labour go into complete and utter civil war where they end. And I'd like to see the Tories in the same position. But if Burnham comes in, I feel he might stem the bleeding, which would be a bad thing. I would have said at one point, me and Steve would have been at loggerheads on this, but I think you put out a tweet that was pretty similar to that, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, so before they announced that they were standing, obviously I aired my criticisms. It was pretty similar to concerns to what you had, if I'm honest with you. But now that they're standing, there's no point any of us sort of sitting here and complaining about it. It's happening now, do you know what I mean? It's not going to change the outcome of what's going to happen. So as I'm a Restore supporter, I'm going to naturally support them to go for the win. But yeah, I was cautious, and I do have these concerns, but it's happened now. I'm not going to like sit here and throw like my toys out the pram over it. It is what it is. It's not a decision I would have done for very much the same sort of reasons you said, Mark, but it's happening now. So I'm just going to support them moving forward. And if they do well, they do well. If they don't, they don't. But I think we all know what the outcome is going to be.
What are your thoughts, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I've no idea about Makerfield. All I know is it's north of Manchester. So it's like, but I've seen some of the local Restore guys kind of gearing up to get in there and everything. So wish them the best of luck. But yeah, it seems like one of those things where it's like you've kind of gone on like a knee jerk, and maybe it would have been better keeping your powder dry. But like Steve says, they're doing it now, so there's no point crying about it and being like, oh, horrendous choice or whatever. It's like choice has been made. You know, if you support Restore, then it's time to go balls to the wall.
See, I think it is time to whinge. I think if this splits
you
the vote,
whinge, and Mark.
I'm going to whinge. This is the time. I've been saying this since day one. I did a stream on Friday night. I laid out the demographics of Makersfield. I laid out Reform's chance of winning, that they're the favourite, and that what a vote split would do. I'm not going to go into it all again because that was about an hour and 15 minute stream, and I'm not going to try and condense that now. But the number one priority for every ethno-nationalist now is not getting behind Restore. It's getting Labour and the Tories out. The number one priority is breaking the two-party system, destroying Labour, destroying the Tories. And after that, that's when, once the political playing field has been completely levelled, that's when we go for it to take it to the next level. But we've got to get rid of those old parties, the generational voting habits, their multi-million pound infrastructure. It'd be great to get rid of the sort of the trade union Congress that gives Labour, you know, tens of millions every year in donations. All of this old political infrastructure has got to go. And if we end up giving Labour a win that they shouldn't have had, it's kind of like you've got your end. You know, like when you know, like a James Bond film, when the bad guy's got James Bond and he's on his back, and then instead of sort of delivering the killing blow, he decides to tell Bond all his plans and sort of bloviate on what, you know, what a fool Bond is, only for Bond to sort of come free from his shackles and then save the day. I kind of feel we've got Labour in that position. Labour on their back, we've just about to put them to the sword, and this could be, you know, what is essentially, because look, Restore and Reform to the public are essentially the same party. The public are going to look at them and say, well, you're exactly the same party with different shades of blue. It's only people like us, people who are deeply political, that will understand the difference. And my worry is that will
different
the
shades
vote.
Of brown, Mark, different shades of brown.
Oh,
at least one of the sides has brown, I should say, shouldn't I?
Anyway, that's my feelings. I'm not being negative, but this shouldn't have happened. And if this is a disaster, and it's shown to be a disaster, and then 2029 comes around and Restore do the same thing, and we end up splitting the vote all over the country, and Labour get in for a second term because of this, and this is what I've warned from day one, a second Labour term would be the worst thing that could happen for this country. And this could be the last general election where we actually have the numbers for white Britons to actually take the country back. That's the sad fact of it. You know, when you look at the demographics, we're 70% of the population. If 50% of white Britons, which should be a high point, all voted for the same party, that would give us 35%, which is just enough for a parliamentary majority. That Labour got 32% last time. 35% would be enough. But if it went to the next general election and we dropped down to maybe 65%, 62%, 61%, depending on how bad it is, we might not have enough white Brits to do it at the next general election. It's either this or the next general election will be the last chance saloon. I don't want to see vote splitting. And if people want Restore to stand, that's up to them. But to me, complete waste of time, absolute idiocy. And I think I'm going to be proved right. I hope I'm not proved right, but I think I will be. Bodden Nilsson gifted one subscription. Thank you so much. AngloKelt 1488 gave $5. Thank you so much. Said, Tommy is a complete fraud. As an 18-year-old Gen Z, I can safely say our generation are aware of his antics. And rest assured, we don't buy it whatsoever. He's a complete rat. I'd like to speak to you more, actually, about that, because I would love to think that young people are, for young people, I'd like to see young people turning against him. And it'd be sort of like, he'd slowly be sort of phased out. But I don't know. I don't know what you think, Steve, but Tommy seems to have been put so far up the totem pole that everyone knows who he is. They've made him a household name for good reason.
Yeah, this is the concern, isn't it? Like, he is a household name now, so every generation knows who he is. But it doesn't mean they all support him. Like you've just heard from that person who just put the super chat in now, like a youngster, they just think he's a piece of shit. I know that's just one person saying that, but that's an opinion that echoes throughout every sort of nationalist movement I've ever interacted with or anything like that. They've all got the same attitude. It's not like when I first came into the movement and everyone was a huge Tommy Robinson fan and they all wanted to go to his protests and stuff. And it's not like that no more. And even like diehard Tommy fans I won't use their names so they don't get shit and stuff, but like diehard Tommy fans that would go to all of his events, film, live stream and all of that, have just washed their hands with him now and gone, I've had enough now. Like, I've seen the error of my ways. Like, it's going nowhere. We need something tougher. I don't want to be replaced, blah, 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 blah. And that's like a lot of youngsters are thinking the same way. So I think done with the younger generation, unless he pivots and adopts a lot of what we say, I think he's done with the younger generation. I could be proven wrong, but hopefully I'm not. And like you say, it could just phase out gradually with the older generation sort of dying out. Because like, he's still huge, right? With like mostly like the over 40s, they all love him. So I think it's that generation that's keeping him ticking over.
Yeah, I agree. I think he sort of leans into the Zio boomers. That's the issue. Flemish Fighter gave another $20. Thank you so much for your generosity tonight. And he said, should every big protest be in London? Imagine bringing in the numbers and also getting more support from the local population. A good protest gets love from bystanders. Look, I've said this many times, and I actually did a bit of my stream about this the other night and about the failure of going to London. So when we go to somewhere like Nuneaton, we go to Nuneaton because there's a local issue. There are people there who support us. We can recruit those people. We can reach out to them and we can give a rallying cry. We can say, look, we're here because we want to stop the boats, close the hotels and deport the illegals. You at least make a political call when you do that, or a call to action, or at least a demand from the establishment. But going to London, you don't see any real locals there. You're not, you know, you don't have sort of, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith who are sick of it. It's gone too far. So they come out, you know, they always go to the market on a Saturday morning, but they're going to have a little bit of lunch and stick around until the protest, because the protest is important and they want to potentially get on board. I always prefer to go somewhere more central. So it's not as hard for everyone to get there. We've always done central demonstrations in the Midlands so everyone can get there. And we've also try to orientate our events since we started doing them with Steve in places where normal people will see it and get on board. Doing it in London, you get that feeling like we're in the capital, we're taking it to the politicians, but I think it's more important to take it to the normal people. I'd like both of your ideas on that because I know you're both big street activists. So what do you think?
Sorry. I zoned out. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, can you just briefly sum up what that was again?
Pay attention, man.
Sorry.
Sorry. No, I was just saying that when we go somewhere, you know, people are saying, should the big protest be in London? I said, no, they shouldn't be. That we need to go to places. And I've said this about Paul Golding in Manchester. He keeps having a demo in Manchester every 2 months. Same demo, same place.
Next one's coming up in like Birmingham, isn't it? Or something like that.
But he goes to Birmingham, Manchester. These places, there aren't white people there to be appealed to. We choose towns. So I was actually talking to the police about this, because when I've been dealing with police liaison says to me, he says, Mark, he says, why do you always choose these sort of towns? I says, because they're overwhelmingly white British and the people want to hear what we have to say because there's a local issue that we address. He says, so why do you do that? I says, because we don't want a Barney. We don't want trouble. We don't want to go to like a Muslim area or a black area and have a punch up. We want to take our message to people, and we want the people to be enthusiastic about it and for there to be as little friction as possible when we go somewhere. And he was like, wow. And he sort of took notes and goes, you know what? He goes, we're really interested when we speak to people like you and you give us honest answers, because he says, you are right. He says, a lot of protests, people go to places where there's going to be friction and trouble. I said, well, like that stupid one in Tower Hamlets with UKIP. I said, if they went down there, they'd have got killed. And he laughed and he says, you're right. He says, we couldn't let them go there, not because it was unsafe for the local community, but because it was unsafe for them to go into that area, because there'd be 10,000 people there facing off against 100 nationalists, and we couldn't protect them. It's just, you know, we have to say it's not in the public interest. He says, but he says, it's interesting that you guys want to do things that minimizes problems for us. And I was like, well, of course we do. You know, we're not there for the kickoff. And I think it's important that when we pick the places, the sites for our demonstrations, we pick them sensibly, and we pick them to ensure that we reach the public. Whereas going to London, it's a little bit, you know, you're like, yeah, we conquered the capital, but you didn't see a single normal person, did they? Whereas when we go to Cannock or Warwick or, you know, wherever we go, we see normal. Like when we went to Skegness, it was all people from Skegness that we leafleted and got on board.
Mm, yeah, no one was just like stopping by Trafalgar Square and it's like, oh, I'm just part of the UTK demo now, because it's like such a big event, has to, you know, obviously so much security that you can't just wander into it. You've got to have, you know exactly which route to take and everything. And even the little bit of friction we witness at our smaller but actually localized events is astroturfed. It's literally bust in. You know, they have to hire coaches from these major metropolitan areas like Manchester and Birmingham and ship them, you know, hours up the motorway in order to reach the event that we're at, because, well, there's been organized, basically, there's been another horrific anti-white attack there, you know, that we're spinning off. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's depending on, it's like, well, what's your goal? You know, for ours, it's recruitment, education. For them, it's the donations, it's the content. And it's like, if you don't go to Manchester, then you're not going to get, you know, the big leftist backlash. And then, we stood up defiant to it, and, you know, we need X number of, you know, I mean, this recent Tommy one was, I think he raised even more money than he did the last one. Yet it was less attended because after the last one, they were like, well, we need even more security. And it's like 2 million quid's worth of Portaloos and all sorts of, and it's just like, I mean, really, has this improved things for the amount spent on them? And it's like, we're doing things on a shoestring with Remigration Now, with Patriotic Alternative, and arguably, I think, getting more of a positive outcome from them for, you know, per pound to benefit kind of costing. It's, the UTK is just a black hole.
The reason most people want a demo in London is because when they see a lot of people marching through London and then they see like the well-known sites and landmarks and so forth, like, it looks optically good and it's like a morale boost for people. And that's, so everyone kind of wants that sort of same sort of imagery for when their like demos go off. But in reality, they just get drowned out because London's so busy anyway. When you walk down any street, there's hundreds of people walking past you every second. If you don't have a protest the size of like UTK, it's almost like it gets drowned out amongst the tourists and the people shopping in town anyway, if you have a protest there. And like the people that are going past, that you're holding your banners, trying to wake people up, you're handing out leaflets. But the people that are walking past you are like Indians and Africans and like Chinese, and they haven't even got a clue what you're doing, let alone what you're talking about. And it's like you're just you're not reaching anyone there. So when you go to these smaller towns, they're very localized. Everyone in the town knows it's happening. Everyone in the town gets the message. It's because it's such a small place that word spreads amongst the locals. Everyone understands what happened at the weekend. Everyone knows what the message was. Everyone knows who spoke. And it's just the best way of reaching our people, because let's be honest, if you look at the demographics of these cities, our people aren't there. Of course, there are some still there, and it's not like we've given up on them, but our people are in other places of the country, and it's a lot easier to reach them and mobilize and get more support and bring more people to strengthen our message by going to these more localized places. That's how I see it anyway.
I agree. I think we're all united on that. We've got one last super chat from the Shogun, who did a little man waving his arm in a vaguely suspicious manner. Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of the stream. It's been a really good stream. We've gone on a little longer than I thought we were going to. I want to thank everyone who tuned in, and I want to thank everyone who donated so generously. But before we shut it down, I'll give the lads their final say. It was great seeing them. We had a great day. I've been with these two legends for such an incredible day of activity, and then seeing Tommy literally mess himself in the early hours of Sunday morning when he realized his three biggest nemesis is all turned up in one place at one time to upend his event. It was kind of like chef's kiss, isn't it? Like the best ending to a great day. You know, you can just imagine him, Garney, just sort of somebody, you know, he's having that line of coke. He's thinking to himself, this has all gone so well. Then, you know, one of his little minions comes in the room and said, I've just been handed this, boss. Apparently, this is everyone's talking about this. And he's like, what is it? And he's like, you can just imagine him going on X, Musk texting him saying, look, this is a blatant violation of the guidelines. You can't threaten to knock people unconscious because they don't like their leaflets, Tommy. You'll have to remove it. I bet he woke up with a sore head seething this morning, which is what I like. Anyway, Sam and Steve, two legends, absolute top tier people. Support them both. Please give your final thoughts, guys, then we'll shut it down.
I think it was a fantastic day. Reached this message that we've been trying to get out to literally tens of thousands of people. If they didn't receive a leaflet, they at least saw the banners, and I'm sure they'll see the social media content afterwards as well. So that was fantastic. And if you'd like to support my family and the activism we're doing, join PA, and you know, you can buy my book, Legal, Truthful, Guilty, about my time away for 2 years for legal stickers at grandmatowlers.co.uk. Pick up some tea and coffee as well. And it's also available on Amazon worldwide as well. And yeah, thank you for having me on, Mark.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It was definitely a lot of graft. It wasn't like any of us were standing still and just chatting all day. It was literally everyone was getting straight to work. Everyone was straight on it. And a lot of huge thanks to all of our guys that came out from Remigration Now and from PA, and the White Vanguard guys were just up the road from us as well. So there was a lot. There was a lot of our guys there doing hard work, grafting, putting out the right message. So more of that moving forward, I reckon. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, thank you to everyone. Thank you to Sam. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to all those who came and helped yesterday. It was brilliant seeing so many people. Absolutely wonderful day. I had a great time. We'd definitely do it again. And if you people in the chat saying they'd have been there if they could have been, sign up to PA. Get in touch with me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. Get in touch with Steve. Get on our mailing lists. Come and get involved. You know, these are the things that we do. And if you're embedded in our chats, in our private chats on Telegram, etc., you know, you'll get advance warning of these things. So if you want to do something like this, do get involved. Anyway, thanks again to Sam and Steve. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. I'll be back on Wednesday for Patriotic Weekly Review. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you, guys. Good night.